This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Out of the news vacuum, this is Radio EcoShock. On a heavily populated island in the Pacific, and it's the world's third largest economy, the world is still shaking. Call it 3/11 for the March 11th date when four reactors started their journey to explosions and runaway radiation. Our lives will never be the same. Right now, listeners outside Japan are asking, are we safe? What about the drinking water, milk, food? Should we buy Japanese products? This is Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. I have a mountain of news for you that you should know and a few warnings about false information on the net. The information is necessary but complex. You can follow along with my written notes and all the supporting links at my blog at ecoshock.info. And download this program as a free MP3 from our website, ecoshock.org. Have you been terrified by those official-looking maps of radiation pouring down on North America and the world? You need my bonus audio track, Fukushima Fact and Fantasy, with all the fringe news I couldn't fit into this week's hour. All kinds of normally useful blogs have been sucked into this net thing where lurid projections of radiation turn out to be all wrong. The Alexander Higgins blog, Intel Hub, GlobalResearch.ca, George Washington's blog, the Philippines Radiation Watch, and lots more publish these animations of Fukushima radiation all over the world. I've written to some of them, but I don't get any response. The trouble is, when I wrote to the scientists who made these maps, that isn't what they show at all. No, we are not being bombarded by storms of radioactivity, as shown in these horrible blue and purple smears across your screen and YouTube videos. And no, America did not make another nuclear attack on Japan on 3/11 by creating the big earthquake from that HAARP station in Alaska. Just before you quit your job, sell the house, and build a bomb shelter, why not download my free MP3 feature, Fukushima Fact and Fantasy, from our website, ecoshock.org. It will be on the front page for a couple of weeks, and later on the nuclear page of our audio on-demand menu. Of course, I'll send that bonus program to all our podcast subscribers. Now, let's get back to this week's program. The real situation now depends on where you live. For Japan, as you will soon learn, the radiation is much worse than reported. My opinion is, the government is verging on criminal acts by withholding vital information from the Japanese people, leaving more people in irradiated zones for too long, eating irradiated food, while running other nuclear reactors with the same risks or worse. Even now, a French official is being criminally charged of withholding information about the seriousness of Chernobyl radiation to the detriment of the French people. For the worried people in North America, the situation is slightly better. So long as there are no further explosions taking place, heavy radioactive isotopes into the upper atmosphere, what crosses the Pacific will be bad, but livable. As I will explain next with the latest news, there is a lot that could go wrong. We could still see more waves of radioactive elements, similar to the one which hit North America's west coast in the week March 18th to 23rd, and Europe a week later. Don't let this story slip out of your attention. The news for the Pacific Ocean and all the fish, whales, and creatures there is very bad. Every week sees a new and worse announcement of rising radiation released into the ocean. Everything points to this pollution continuing for months, if not years, or decades. We don't know where that leads. Let's start with this question. What is the risk of another big burst of radiation into the Northern Hemisphere? In the third week of April, a representative of the Japanese government said the Fukushima reactor site was somewhat stable. He promised there was no chance of another big explosion and no risk to Tokyo. Here is one news story from Agence France-Presse. Quote, the Japanese Prime Minister's special advisor on the nuclear crisis says the immediate risk of a major radiation leak from the Fukushima power plant has receded, the Wall Street Journal reported. The government could not say the situation has been completely stabilized at the plant, but after studying the possibility of severe deterioration, Tokyo was comfortable with the current evacuation policy, Goshi Hosono told the paper in an interview Saturday. Quote, there is no way Tokyo or Kyoto will come into harm's way, said Hosono, Prime Minister Naoto Kan's special advisor on management of the nuclear crisis. End quote from AFP.
Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. an unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
No threat to Tokyo. Published government statistics show radiation in Tokyo is 2.5 times higher than normal. One amateur with a high-quality Geiger counter published this on his Facebook page, 2011-04-26 at 1513, 0.716 microsieverts, location roof of the Metropolis office, Minato-ku, Tokyo. That is 18 times Tokyo normal. It goes up and down depending on the wind direction. Michio Kaku, the New York physicist of Japanese ancestry, says people are voting with their feet. Those who can leave Tokyo are going or gone. Assessing the stability of the four wrecked reactors at Fukushima, Kaku told Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!
So when the utility says that things are stable, it's only stable in the sense that you're dangling from a cliff, hanging by your fingernails, and as the time goes by, each fingernail starts to crack. That's the situation now.
Should we believe the Japanese authorities that the major crisis has passed? Even as news conferences reveal that the danger is unknown. The instrumentation for these reactors and spent fuel pools was washed away. There are no working control rooms. No human has even approached the reactor buildings 1 to 3 over a month later. Here is NHK World Japanese English Language TV from April 17th.
Along with concerns from local residents, the containment plan could face numerous obstacles. High levels of radiation have kept workers from approaching the buildings housing the first three reactors, which lost their cooling functions. But issues remain, as radioactive water has been found in turbine buildings and the utility tunnel outside the reactors. At the number two reactor, the level of highly contaminated water in the tunnel is still rising. To prevent overflow, TEPCO is stepping up the inspection of the nuclear waste processing facility. The aim is to transfer contaminated water. Underground water at the plant is also contaminated. On Wednesday, the level of radioactive substances sharply increased at the facilities where underground water from the number one and two reactors is collected.
There have been international complaints about a lack of sharing that which is known. A real blow to the credibility of the government and the plant operator TEPCO comes from their continuing press strategy, minimize now, confess later. In the worst example, on April 23rd, the government cabinet office admitted the total radioactivity released by Fukushima Daiichi was many times higher than they previously claimed. On April 5th, the government said the amount released was 0.69 terabecquerels per hour for iodine-131, and 0.14 terabecquerels per hour for cesium-137. After this comparatively low number was widely circulated in the international press, 2 weeks later, the numbers were recalculated to be at least 10 times higher. I quote the Omiri Shinbun newspaper here, quote, "Converting cesium amount into iodine equivalent, the amount released turned out to be 6.4 terabecquerels per hour, which was 154 terabecquerels per day." Previously, the Nuclear Safety Commission had simply added the numbers for iodine-131 and cesium-137 and announced that it was less than 1 terabecquerel per hour, end quote. Confused? Well, that's their hope. In an April 12th press conference, NISA said the release of emissions was less than 1 terabecquerel per hour or 24 TB per day. 11 days later, they said it was 154 TB per day, 1 tera being 1 trillion becquerels. The government and TEPCO were caught playing a numbers game to reduce the release of radiation. How can scientists like the RIU and the NILU calculate what is coming at us? How can anyone trust the Japanese authorities when it comes to emissions after this? If you read this article, Japanese officials on defensive as nuclear alert level rises, in the New York Times, April 12, 2011, the Japanese Commission admits a margin of error in their figures up to 3 times their published numbers. In the highest range, that makes Fukushima emissions as high or higher than the total from Chernobyl already. They claim not to know for sure. There has been an attempt by the government of Japan to take over all public relations relating to Fukushima. They have forced the previously separate agencies like NISA, the Nuclear Information Safety Agency, the Department of Education, and a whole slew of other agencies, plus the utility TEPCO, into a single unified command. The first mass press conference was held April 26th, I think, and it went on for grueling hours. The new system allows tight controls of which media gets in, knocks out any independent statements or measurements that don't fit the government line. Part of the government aim is to rebuild tourism to Japan and confidence in Japanese products shipped out while stopping the exodus of business from Tokyo and Japan itself. This from the Alexander Higgins blog. Quote, "The supposedly free democratic nation of Japan, which supposedly values and promotes freedom of speech, has officially issued orders to telecommunication companies and webmasters to remove content from websites that counter the official government position that the disaster is over and that there is no more threat from the radiation. The government charges that the damage caused by the earthquakes and by the nuclear accident are being magnified by irresponsible rumors, and the government must take action for the sake of the public good. The project team has begun to send, quote, letters of request to such organizations as telephone companies, internet providers, cable television stations, and others, demanding that they, quote, take adequate measures based on the guidelines in response to illegal information, end quote. The measures include erasing any information from internet sites that the authorities deem harmful to public order and morality." The source for that is from the Asia Pacific Journal, and I found the link on the Alexander Higgins blog. I have a link posted to the Japanese-only letter to the media asking them to censor irresponsible statements about the nuclear situation in Japan. Find that in my blog at ecoshock.info. The title of this show is Fukushima Drama. As host of Radio EcoShock, I can tell you that our Twitter feed, #EcoShock, has a new customer, TEPCO Industrial Japan. I'm flattered the company listens to this broadcast or podcast. I wonder, though, is EcoShock banned in Japan?
Banned in Japan.
As I reported on Radio EcoShock 2 weeks ago, the Japanese press system has been keeping some foreign media and all independent media out of official press briefings. This is NHK World, April 18th.
The operator of the Fukushima plant says it will examine the seabed of the facility to ensure that no plutonium has leaked into the ocean. TEPCO said on Monday that it will conduct the inspection as plutonium is heavier than other radioactive materials and could have accumulated on the floor. Plutonium could cause lung cancer if inhaled. Earlier, TEPCO detected small quantities in the soil around the plant, but it said the amount is too small to harm human health. So far, none has been found in the air and seawater samples from around the plant. TEPCO executive Junichi Matsumoto said, "There's little doubt that plutonium has leaked from the plant during the accident. Soil samples have been found to be contaminated with a small amount of the substance." He said the company will continue with the examination so that residents can feel safe.
Let's talk about that plutonium that neither Japan nor the U.S. authorities want us to talk about. Charles Diggs, published March 31st in the Russian environment group Bellona, said, quote, "Yukio Edano, chief secretary of the Japanese cabinet, said that plutonium leaks confirms fuel melts. Quote, "It is likely that the appearance of plutonium is a result of the situation of the fuel rods. They may be partially melting," end quote, Edano told reporters. And that was all from Bellona.org, a Russian environmental group. The media outside Japan are also self-censoring. You can see it every day. There's practically nothing in the news. And they're keeping a close eye on their own advertisers with nuclear connections. Even cartoons are being censored. According to globalresearch.ca, Austria, Germany, Canada, and Australia have banned 8 episodes of Matt Groening's U.S. animated series, The Simpsons, dealing with the nuclear crisis. Oh no, not The Simpsons. Why is Fukushima data not on national television in the U.S. or Canada? Many people are asking, why doesn't the U.S. and Canadian media report what is going on? There are no updates or warnings about radiation being measured in North America. In fact, reporting about Fukushima has dropped off to nothing outside the business press. In a discussion thread in the nuclear department at UC Berkeley, California, a person claiming to write for a Southern California news service claims he did write 2 stories about Fukushima radiation reaching the coast, but both were turned down. I can't verify that. News editors reportedly tell the few reporters who remain the public isn't interested. The Fukushima disaster no longer shows up on Google News top stories columns. You need to search for it specifically to find anything. The major fast-breaking news is now only moving on the net, with TV stations so far behind they prefer not to cover the story. Besides, they have slashed the reporters. There's almost no one left to cover such a complex story. And besides, the reporters don't want to go to radioactive Japan. Most Americans do not realize the full extent of media ownership by General Electric, the maker of the failed Mark I reactors at Fukushima. Beyond 49% ownership of the NBC television network and MSNBC, the net version, co-owned with Microsoft, GE owns television stations in most major markets from New York through Chicago to Los Angeles, plus things like the Biography Channel, History Channel, the Weather Channel, which should be broadcasting the radiation levels along with the winds, and more. GE also owns Spanish language networks in Brazil and elsewhere in Latin America. People, Fukushima is disappearing down a mass media rabbit hole. The field has been left to a few business journalists, including a good blog at Forbes.com, and to the fringe bloggers. A world-changing event, bringing radiation right into your food chain, and it isn't worth a top news story. That tells you a lot about what you can expect as peak oil and climate change keep smashing our civilization. Expectations and things will disappear. Towns will be wrecked as they are being right now, and you know not to talk about it if you want to keep your job. Hush, hush. To understand the dangers that face us all, let's look at the new developments at each Fukushima reactor, and then the Japanese response. On April 20th, the Japanese Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency finally admitted fuel pellets in all three Fukushima reactors 1 to 3 had partially melted down. This was reported in the Yomiuri Shimbun. I quote, "The report was the first time the agency, an organ of the Economy, Trade, and Industry Ministry, has acknowledged that nuclear fuel has melted." Hidehiko Nishiyama, a spokesman for the agency, told a press conference Monday about the agency's report to the Nuclear Safety Commission. The agency had previously only described the nuclear fuel as having been at least 3% damaged. The agency said it now believes the fuel pellets have melted because of the high levels of radiation detected at the number 2 and 3 reactors. Melting fuel pellets also likely led to a hydrogen explosion at the number 1 reactor, Nishiyama said. End quote from Yomiuri Shinbun newspaper. So we know we have 3 reactors in Japan melting down. With no real cooling systems beyond spraying from fire trucks and modified cement trucks, their control rooms are not operative, no workers have been able to enter any of the 3 reactor buildings, and authorities repeatedly say they do not know what is going on inside them, and we should be calm about that. Let's start with reactor number 1.
Reactor 1.
Was the first explosion at Fukushima caused by Japanese reluctance to vent radioactive gas and explosive hydrogen into the Japanese countryside? And what does that tell us about routine radiation released by reactors in America, England, and elsewhere? A revealing Wall Street Journal investigation suggests Japanese fear of releasing radiation made this accident worse. Following the atomic bombing, Japanese did not want more radiation. Therefore, Japanese authorities made much stricter rules about venting radiation from reactors than the Americans who designed the GE Mark I that was built at Fukushima. TEPCO had to ask high-level Japanese authorities in the middle of the night for permission, causing an overnight delay. Then they were afraid of the super high radiation inside the plant when it came to sending a worker in there to release the valves manually. More hours of delay, and so the hydrogen from melting fuel rods built up, creating pressure twice the design limits for that reactor, and exploded, wrecking the outer building and other equipment, possibly including the spent fuel pond. In the United States, reactor operators on site can authorize venting without further approval or warning to nearby residents. U.S. reactors vent regularly, meaning some radioactivity is released to the surrounding area as part of normal operations. How harmful that vented radioactive steam is depends on the type of reactor. The old boiling water reactors like Fukushima and in many U.S. cities boil water right in the reactor and send radioactive steam all over the plant and into the turbines. That was a cheaper design and sold as such in America and in Japan. Vented steam from BWRs is more radioactive than steam from another design, pressurized water reactors, which exchange heat without directly imparting radioactivity into the turbine steam. My point is, American reactors leak low levels of radioactivity quite often as a normal part of their operation with no media coverage. They call it venting. According to NukeBusters.org, between 1973 and 1992, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission reported, quote, "Routine airborne releases of radioactive waste from nuclear reactors had exceeded 37,510,000 curies, not including Three Mile Island's 1979 release of 9,970,000 curies during the accident." We can presume that many incidents and amounts of routine venting of nuclear reactors are simply not reported at all. This venting problem is especially dangerous with boiling water reactors. Try not to live near one, or if you do, work to shut it down. There are 34 operating BWRs in the U.S. and at least 18 operating or potentially operating BWRs in Japan, with more under construction there. There are BWRs in Germany, Mexico, India, Sweden, Switzerland, and more. All of these will be venting radioactive materials into the surroundings from time to time. In the United States, there are 23 old General Electric Mark I containment-type reactors, the same design that failed with even a short loss of outside power as demonstrated at Fukushima Daiichi. These should be shut down immediately. Find a list of those GE Mark I reactors at the Nuclear Information and Resource Service, NIRS.org, or use the direct link in my Radio EcoShock blog at ecoshock.info. And the article title, again, is Fukushima Drama.
I would feel safer in a newly built nuclear power plant during an earthquake and a tsunami than if I were in one of those cars I've seen being tossed around.
Okay, it's time to talk about the risks of flooding reactors.
We bring you the news from Tokyo. I'm Joseph Queenie.
And I'm Fumiko Konoye.
Meanwhile, at the number 4 reactor, TEPCO injected 200 tons of water on Friday and 140 tons of water on Saturday into the reactor's storage pool for spent fuel rods as the water temperature remained above 90 degrees Celsius, much higher than normal. But there are fears that the weight of the water might be further damaging the number 4 reactor building. The company says it will be more cautious about the volume of cooling water it injects. It promised to monitor the level and temperature of the water in the pool.
The Japanese government has expressed concern about the structural strength of the Fukushima Daiichi plant's number 1 reactor, saying the ongoing water injections may be making the vessel less earthquake resistant. TEPCO is planning to fill part of the containment vessel with water to cool the reactor. It wants the water level to reach the top of the fuel rods in number 1 and number 3 reactors by mid-July, so it can cool them under more stable conditions. At the number 1 reactor, where fuel rods are believed to be the most seriously damaged, 6 tons of water are being injected every hour. The water level is now estimated to be about halfway up the bulb of the dry well. TEPCO says the water accumulation will not compromise the structure. But the government's Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency says large amounts of water can make the building less earthquake-proof.
The Japanese authorities plan to drown the reactors and fuel pools at Fukushima. They will even flood the reactor containment vessels. Since there is no recycling capable of handling all this new water, it must collect in reactor buildings, trenches, the subsoil, and the sea. On April 22nd, NHK World reported water still could not be raised high enough to cover the fuel rods in Reactor 1. TEPCO plans to flood the containment vessel to cool the reactor. The Nuclear Industrial Safety Agency expressed concerns the extra weight could break the building if another large quake occurred. They also said suppression pool pipes may not withstand the weight of extra water. I read this as a possibility that the reactor building or the reactor itself could fall apart under the weight of water never planned for in the original design. It's a desperation move. Here's NHK World, April 22nd.
The operator of the Kripal nuclear plant in Japan is trying to cool the number 1 reactor by pumping water into its containment vessel. The government says the water could make the containment vessel less resistant to earthquakes.
In the Kripal Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, operations to inject water into reactor number 1, where the fuel has suffered the heaviest damages, have been ongoing. Currently, water is being injected at a pace of 6 tons per hour. This is reactor number 1. According to TEPCO, steam has been emitted as the injected water comes into contact with heated fuel. The vapor has subsequently found its way into the containment vessel. Vapor has precipitated into water and is believed to have collected in the containment vessel. Yesterday, Tokyo Electric Power Company said Accurate data on the water level is not yet available. Water has collected at the spherical bottom of the flask-shaped containment vessel. The water level is gradually rising. Down below, the suppression chamber is mostly full with water. Therefore, the area below is submerged in water.
The Japanese press called this technique a water coffin. TEPCO says it has poured around 7,000 tons of water into the number one reactor pressure vessel. By mid-April, Tokyo Electric reported 60,000 tons of rad waste water accumulated in the turbine buildings and trenches of reactors 1 and 3. That amount continues to grow. Keep in mind, reactor 1 fuel rods have probably been the most exposed, the most damaged, the most melted. According to the LA Times, quote, Japan's Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency said an estimated 70% of the nuclear fuel rods have been damaged at the number one reactor and 33% at the number two reactor. The American Nuclear Regulatory Commission estimated 67% of the fuel rods in reactor 1 were damaged. On April 21st, via Kyoto News, TEPCO finally admitted the fuel in reactor 1, exposed to the air for weeks with no cooling water, for at least the upper half of the rods, might be melting down. This is the way such things are worded in Japan, the TEPCO spokesperson Junichi Matsumoto said at a press conference, quote, I'm not saying with certainty that the fuel has never melted, end quote. He described a lava-like state of fuel in the reactor, but when pressed on whether this was a reactor meltdown, backed away, saying TEPCO doesn't like to be hasty in such definitions.
Reactor 2.
We'll move on to the equally dangerous reactor number 2. As you recall, Los Angeles Times on March 15th said one-third of the fuel rods in this reactor were damaged, likely melted down, and this reactor has a hole blown in the lower structure called a torus that pours out any water injected as highly radioactive waste. Despite pumping thousands of gallons of highly radioactive water into number 2 condenser tank, TEPCO reported April 18th, quote, at the number 2 reactor, the level of highly contaminated water in the tunnel is still rising. On Wednesday, April 13th, TEPCO announced high readings from the underground water collected at number 1 and number 2 reactors. Radioactivity reached ground levels at the site. As reported by GG Press, TEPCO says spent fuel rods at Reactor 2 may be damaged, since they measured 4,100 becquerels of radioactive iodine and 4,000 to 160,000 becquerels of radioactive cesium per cubic centimeter in that spent fuel pool. This indicates damaged fuel rods, not surprising that there was at least one massive hydrogen explosion, some sources say several, which damaged the reactor right below the pool. As the outer shell did not break up, all that explosive force was kept within the building. The spent fuel pool for Reactor 2 cannot be seen in air photos, since this is the only containment building left standing. This problem in Reactor 2 spent fuel pool is almost completely unreported in most sources. The Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency clouds the waters by suggesting the radioactivity in the pool might have leaked from the reactor vessel into the spent fuel pool. However, that's going to happen. NISA suggests the short-life iodine could not have come from spent fuel, while other experts say damaged fuel rods when blown around or out of the cooling water for days may well go critical. TEPCO announces a problem, NISA denies it, or the other way round, and that's been the trend of confusion all along. As described by nuclear expert Arne Gunderson and admitted by TEPCO authorities, reactor number 2 has seriously damaged parts in the torus, is constantly leaking tons of radioactive water that passes through hot reactor fuel, and has at least partly melted down. Some suspect it has melted through the bottom of the reactor vessel. TEPCO admits there is fuel at the bottom and the reactor has been punctured, but denies a melt-through, an event which could lead to a massive explosion if the hot fuel reaches groundwater, the kind of explosion which would send serious radioactive clouds around the world. Radio EcoShock will be right back in 1 minute. This is Radiation Blues by California artist Vast Man. Find his free to nonprofit activist music at soundclick.com.
No more news. Oh, yeah.
I got the radiation blues. You won't see it in the news.
Oh, no.
Because they got too much to hide. So you better stay inside.
Because it's raining.
Oh, yeah.
Radiation blues.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
You are listening to a special report on the Fukushima nuclear accident in Japan from Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, adding up the news.
Reactor 3.
Reactor 3 is a mess, and everyone knows it. Again, there is a partial meltdown of fuel. The reactor has the highest level of radioactivity around it, and yet the lowest temperature and pressure of the three formerly operating reactors. No human has entered the Reactor 3 building. But this week, I'd like to look at a completely underreported danger at Reactor 3 again, the spent fuel pond. Joseph Trento of DCBureau.org says the MOX fuel test that uses plutonium in Reactor 3 was not completed when the quake struck, so he thinks the more heavily plutonium-laced stuff was not in the spent fuel pond when that was blown up. I have not confirmed this. Of course, there would be some plutonium in those spent fuel rods. That's the way nuclear reactors work. One unbelievably radioactive piece of concrete was found near Reactor 3. This 30 by 30 centimeter piece measured 900 millisieverts an hour. TEPCO believes this fragment came from an explosion at Reactor 3. Was it part of the now missing fuel pond, or did it come from the reactor itself? A map of radioactivity around the site does show the highest levels around Reactor 3. A high-res photo of Reactor 3 shows at least part of the spent fuel pool is missing. In fact, the top floor of the whole building is missing, which may or may not have included the top of the reactor. Lewis Whitefield Hickson explains the photos in his blog. TEPCO admits Reactor 3 has melted down, but says the upper containment of the reactor itself held. Arnie Gunderson says this reactor has the lowest pressure and the lowest temperature, and so it may be the least dangerous at this time. In the Radio EcoShock interview, he agrees part of the Reactor 3 spent fuel pond is missing, but Gunderson suspects part of the reactor pool still remains because the extreme heat source shown in the aerial photos of the site might be coming from the remains of that pool. Some kind of radio action is happening there. The blown-up and spent fuel pond in Reactor 3 may explain some of the plutonium found around the site, some of the fuel rods found outside the site, and some of the extreme radiation TEPCO is about to announce in the sea near Fukushima. Those fuel rods went somewhere.
Fuel pool 4.
We move on to Reactor 4. As you know, that reactor was shut down for maintenance at the time of the quake and tsunami on March 11th. The still unused reactor fuel was placed in the spent fuel pool as well a few months before the accident. The spent fuel pond is the dark ogre of Reactor 4. During the week of April 12th to 14th, operator error led to that fuel pond draining, heating up, and emitting more steam and radiation. TEPCO confirms damage to this pond fuel, reporting iodine-131 and cesium-137 signs of nuclear reaction. The utility says there are 1,331 spent fuel rods and 204 unused fuel rods stored in that pool. As the Japanese news service Kyoto reports, quote, according to TEPCO, radioiodine-131 amounting to 220 becquerels per cubic centimeter, cesium-134 of 88 becquerels and cesium-137 of 93 becquerels were detected in the pool water. Those substances are generated by nuclear fission. The government's Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency said the confirmed radioactive materials were up to 100,000 times higher than normal, but that the higher readings may also have been caused by the pouring of rainwater containing much radioactivity or particles of radiation emitting rubble in the pool, end quote. Arnie Gunderson of Fairwinds.com takes up the rainwater claim in one of his free online videos. The calculations show either Fukushima releases were greater than Chernobyl, or this idea that rainwater caused the new radioactivity readings is just not true. As Arnie Gunderson suggested on Radio EcoShock, the spent fuel pool at Reactor 4 may have cracked or been damaged in the earthquake, an alarming statement about the weakness of structural design in many similar nuclear power plants. A week later, on April 21st, the New York Times confirmed the deputy director of NISA, the Japanese safety agency, and I quote the Times, said the authorities were looking for ways to shore up the bottom of the spent uranium fuel storage pool at reactor number 4 to prevent it from collapsing, ending my quote from the New York Times. Find this in audio and video from NHK World on April 24th.
The operator of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant is studying ways to increase earthquake resistance of the spent fuel pool at the number 4 reactor. The walls of the reactor building supporting the pool were severely damaged by an explosion on March 15th. The company plans to install several concrete pillars on the floor below, which will support the bottom of the pool. The company says the radiation level on the floor is not immediately dangerous to human health, but that it needs to determine whether long hours of work are possible there. The pool has the most fuel rods at the plant, and a large amount of water has been evaporating. The company has been injecting water into the pool to prevent the rods from being exposed and further damaged. But there is concern that the weight of the water might cause further damage to the reactor building.
The company fears an aftershock may cause the collapse of the spent fuel pool structure. Uh-oh. The Reactor 4 spent fuel pool contains tons and tons of long-lasting cesium, uranium, plutonium, and up to 100 other radioactive elements. A collapse would end cooling, would spread radioactivity almost impossible to clean up ever, and could lead to a fission reaction and or meltdown explosion if it reaches the water table or even underground radioactive water. This is a possible, looming, major disaster. Can the authorities even get close enough with equipment and workers to fix the dangling Reactor 4 spent fuel pool? Likely not, as new reports show highly radioactive water pooling in the turbine hall and substructures of Reactor 4. On April 24th, TEPCO said the water in No. 4 spent fuel pool dropped from 91 degrees C, pretty hot, to 66 degrees C, reducing the risk of more hydrogen explosions. But by Tuesday the 26th, it was reported back up to the 80 degree C mark and rising, so the situation at Reactor 4 is far from being under control. In his Radio EcoShock interview as a former executive of a fuel rod rack company, Arne Gunderson warned of the risks of blowing too much water on the damaged spent fuel in Reactor 4's pool. Almost 2 weeks later, on April 23rd, NHK World TV announced TEPCO has decided to become more cautious about injecting water into that pool. They cited the danger the building could be damaged by the weight of the water. The modified cement arm was throwing 200 tons of water into the pool. Highly radioactive water is also collecting in the Reactor 4 turbine building. According to the Japanese newspaper Yomiuri Shimbun, April 25th, at the first joint press conference of the various agencies, including Mr. Hosono, Secretary General of the Unification Headquarters, he said TEPCO announced water in the No. 4 turbine building is, quote, 250 times more radioactive cesium than a month ago. It is possible that water is leaking from the Reactor 3 turbine building. The two turbine buildings share a wall. The water level is also rising. This may affect the process, outlined in TEPCO's roadmap, to cool the reactors at the plant in a stable manner. TEPCO took the sample in the Reactor 4 turbine building basement on April 21st to measure the amount of radioactive materials. Radioactive iodine was found 10 times the amount in the cooling water in the pressure vessel during normal operation. Radioactive cesium was found in greater concentration than radioactive iodine, 7,800 becquerels per cubic centimeter, cesium-134 and 8,100 becquerels cesium-137 were found, each 250 times the amount found in the same sample taken on March 24th at the same place. The water level in the basement is steadily rising. As of 11 a.m. on April 25th, the water depth was 1.15 meters from the basement floor at the deepest part. It was an increase of 5 centimeters from the previous day and an increase of 15 centimeters from a week ago. And that's an end of my quote from Yomiuri Shimbun newspaper and the end of our little talk about the spent fuel pool at Reactor 4. Well, everyone knows Fukushima Daiichi Reactors 5 and 6 are perfectly safe. Forget about them, says the government and TEPCO. But NHK World TV reports water is rising in the turbine buildings of Reactors 5 and 6, making them less stable in case of a quake. TEPCO says it could be groundwater, or is it radioactive water from other operations? Unreported by the mainstream media, this supposedly safe facility is slowly flooding. Let's get to the proposed responses by Japan and by TEPCO, and we can only briefly discuss that. The first priority seems to be the construction of a new external cooling system. That means large new tanks and a new treatment facility to remove some of the radiation and then recycle the cooling water to be complete by summer, they hope, as announced on April 16th. In an attempt to reduce ocean pollution, temporary sea dikes have been built. Kyoto reports, quote, the nuclear agency also said TEPCO has installed 3 steel sheets near a seawater intake for the No. 2 reactor and set up silt fence curtain barriers near the intakes for No. 3 and 4 reactors at the 6-reactor plant to block the spread of radioactive substances in the water. And that's an end from Kyoto. And remember that there are long pipes going out into the sea from this reactor because that is how they cooled the water previously. There are no cooling towers at this plant. The Japanese government is considering building a deep wall underground all around the Fukushima Daiichi plant for reactors 1 to 4 in an effort to contain radioactive groundwater. We do not have time today to discuss the serious danger and limitation to workers at the plant. They live in terrible conditions. As you know, we have no credible reports of the number who have received radioactive poisoning. For everyone in the world, it is important to realize more radioactive poisoning of the sea is simply inevitable, given the Japanese strategy of pouring on more and more water. On April 16th, radiation was still rising in the sea near Fukushima, despite the earlier plug of a leak. According to the New York Times, quote, "The level of radioactive iodine-131 jumped to 6,500 times the legal limit, according to samples taken Friday, up from 1,100 times in samples taken the day before. Levels of cesium-134 and cesium-137 rose nearly fourfold," end quote, from the New York Times. On April 21st, Kyoto News reports Tokyo Electric admitting radioactive leaks into the ocean in a four-day period was 5,000 terabecquerels, 20,000 times above the plant limits, while into the atmosphere was between 370,000 to 630,000 terabecquerels. The wide range in that estimate shows their uncertainty and adds to ours. Consider the following report from the Arang Korea Global TV.
Off the seas of Japan, the amount of radioactivity in seawater near the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant is about to hit the highest ever level recorded in history. According to the Asahi Shimbun on Sunday, officials measured 186 becquerels per liter of radioactive substances in the sea just 34 kilometers from the crippled power plant on April 15th. This level is about 20,000 times higher than the permissible annual standard set by the Japanese government. The highest level of contamination in history was 200 becquerels per liter in the Irish Sea in the 1970s when a nuclear fuel reprocessing factory discharged cesium-137.
I've already discussed the extreme danger of filling containment vessels, fuel ponds, and buildings with more water. Let's take a quick break for a lesson from comedians Ed Asner and Julia Dreyfus in this 1984 episode of Saturday Night Live.
Look, you got nothing to worry about. It's very simple. In that room are the controls for the water tanks. Now, just remember one thing. There's only one thing you have to worry about. You can't put too much water in a nuclear reactor. Take care.
Anne, what are you doing?
I was going to put some water in the reactor.
What, are you out of your mind?
Well, you heard Ray. You can't put too much water in there. Gosh, it sounds like it uses a lot.
No. Look, Ray said you can't put too much water in the reactor. In other words, don't put too much water in the reactor.
No. He meant that we shouldn't worry about putting too much. The danger is in not having enough.
Keep in mind, as the fire and cement truck hoses pour it on, this is the main strategy, the big plan, for the next 3 months at least. And yet TEPCO and the government say it will take at least 3 months to remove all the current radioactive water before any other work can be done. That seems like a circular problem that cannot be resolved. More water, more water. As the recent billion-dollar project to rebuild the blown Chernobyl reactor cover shows, there is no final solution to all this. People are still dying of cancer from Chernobyl. A new generation is affected. The radiation is still there, still hot, and will be for hundreds of years at least. A nuclear accident never ends. Here is Japanese journalist Yuichi Shimatsu on the Jeff Rentz Show.
You know, Chernobyl is broken open again. So the Chernobyl crisis is not history. It's still with us.
Yeah.
I think this is the problem. It never goes away. Other power systems, they shut down. They shut down. But nuclear just keeps heating away, keeps irradiating us. It doesn't stop. And I think this is a problem that is going to be dogging the next generation, too, not just ours. You know, as I look at this matter more, a nuclear energy is no longer a science. You know, when we look at the way the IEA is reacting, it's clear that it's the priesthood of a false cult, of a false religion, a god that has failed, a nuclear god. And I think for the rest of us, we've got to take a hard look at that. You know, we just cannot believe anymore. You know, we've got to stop believing, take their temple apart.
Just like Chernobyl, Japan is lurching toward defining its own permanent exclusion zone. The Japanese paper Yomiuri Shimbun reports alleged remarks by Prime Minister Naoto Kan, quote, the evacuees will not be able to return for 10 to 20 years, end quote. After a storm of public protest and attacks by the opposition, Can denied he said that. New towns outside the 20-kilometer limit have been added to the evacuation zone. It is now a criminal offense to try and enter the exclusion zone. The U.S. authorities call for a 50-mile area exclusion. Japan likely must keep its main highways and rail lines open that go right through that exclusion zone, so I think the area of Japan lost for human use will be much larger. Japan, for the first time, set radioactive limits for planting rice and for fish. An article at globalresearch.ca says Japan has now restricted rice planting in soil with more than 5,000 becquerels per kilogram of radioactive cesium, the first time maximum radiation levels have been set for soil anywhere. The Fukushima prefectural government announced on April 6th that rice paddies 20 to 30 kilometers from the nuclear plant have shown as much as 15,000 becquerels per kilogram of radioactive cesium. On the plus side, Japan is for the first time seriously considering more alternative energy, such as wind power, instead of more and more nuclear plants. Also, expecting power shortages this summer, government, corporations, and individuals are working to reduce energy demand. It's a kind of power down coming from the ingenious Japanese. It could serve as a model for North America and the world. You can find out more in the book by the American scientist Alan Meir called Saving Electricity in a Hurry, published by the International Energy Agency, the IEA. This accident might better prepare Japan for declining oil supplies, as people call it, peak oil.
Radio EcoShock.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Here's a bit more news you need to know before we look at both the big picture and your personal response. The nuclear regulators who were meeting during the accident did absolutely nothing to increase world safety. As Bloomberg News reports, quote, the 72-nation Convention on Nuclear Safety pledged to hold an extraordinary meeting in August 2012 to review the breakdown of safety systems at Fukushima, according to a 7-paragraph statement released today in Vienna. End of a quote from Bloomberg. The much-publicized review of American reactors by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission was hobbled from the start. Massachusetts Congressman Ed Markey objected and calls for a moratorium on relicensing. As reported by the Cape Cod Online newspaper with quotes from the Markey letter, in addition, inspectors were initially told to limit inspections to so-called design basis events, according to Markey. Quote from Markey here, this meant that inspectors would be assessing licensees' ability to withstand and respond only to events that have already been contemplated and analyzed by the NRC and for which regulatory requirements have been implemented, but not events such as the ones which occurred in Japan, which were previously believed to be impossible, Markey wrote. Although complaints by inspectors prompted the NRC to instruct them to expand their inspections, they were allegedly told not to report any related findings in public reports. Markey wrote, quote, instead, these findings will be entered into a private NRC database and kept secret. That ends a quote from Cape Cod Online. I want to add a heads up to my listeners in Australia, New Zealand, South America, and South Africa. Fukushima radiation has now spread to the southern hemisphere, and we didn't expect that, and it makes this a truly global nuclear accident. Monitors set up by the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty Organization detected Fukushima radiation in Fiji, Australia, Malaysia, and Papua New Guinea. There is nowhere to hide. Chris Busby, who specializes in the risk of low-level radiation, says radiation particles of uranium and more from Fukushima picked up in the Pacific Marianas, Guam, and Hawaii are a cause for concern and demand more monitoring around the world. Well, here are some of the things I would love to cover in this show. Each one of them could be a complete program, probably, or a blog for somebody. We can't do it due to lack of time, but I want you to think about, will 311 lead to a global economic recession or worse? What is the impact on Japan's tourism, car production, the cost of the liability, the cost of ongoing reactor control and decommissioning, the loss of agriculture and production in the exclusion zone, the loss of seafood market, both for local use and export, and the multinational companies and embassies moving out of Tokyo? I mean, Reuters reports on April 15th the Morgan Stanley Company allowed the default on a $3.3 billion real estate deal in Tokyo. And then you have the loss of confidence in all Japanese products. Is that shipping container radioactive? Is that car radioactive? We're going to have to find all that out. And then we have the impact on other economies. You know about the shutdown of some auto production and the slowdown of electronics and pharmaceuticals due to a lack of Japanese parts. There are shipping difficulties as ships want to avoid those Japanese ports. Other Asian destinations might see a slight gain in tourism and products. It could be good for them. And the sales of rebuilding materials like wood and concrete will benefit. There could be a possible increased demand for fossil fuels because now Japan must buy them. There will be reduced Japanese purchase of goods and national bonds around the world. There's a possible sale of U.S. treasuries along with China. Potential political difficulties as slower bond sales force a slash in public spending. Just look at those protests in Britain, for example. Losses to the dairy industry all around due to the radiation fear. A loss of confidence in California produce could happen. Could be an increase in the cost of food and an increase in medical costs because of the psychological stress and the downtime, especially in Asia, and a reduced future for the nuclear industry and countries canceling reactors, as NRG did in Texas recently, and Italy's called back their plan. It's happening all over the world. Some nuclear projects are being canceled. Others are going ahead, they say, and there are anti-nuclear protests going on all over the world. Well, let's talk about the geopolitical implications. I have to note disturbing efforts to create hatred of Americans, typified by the former Forbes magazine Asian bureau chief Benjamin Fulford. In his wiki entry, we find this, quote, "Since 2009, Fulford has stated that the U.S. government, using a secret military program known as HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, has been altering the climate and using high-power microwave energy, inducing earthquakes. I have seen a video with both English and Japanese subtitles intended for both audiences where Fulford and a Japanese martial arts leader decry this earthquake as a nuclear attack on Japan by the Americans. There remains within Japan an extreme group with some popular backing who blame America for all of Japan's problems. They have never forgiven the atomic bombing. Fulford was the Forbes magazine Asian bureau chief from 1998 to 2005. He often cites members of the Japanese Yakuza, the gangsters, as sources. I wonder if he really works for an intelligence agency. Conversely, I wonder if the U.S. military may use this nuclear accident and the radiation as an excuse to reduce bases in Japan, because they're broke anyway. It is possible the Fukushima nuclear accident, the backlash, and the weakness of the American economy may ironically push Japan into announcing nuclear weapons. Another big trend, this accident in Reactor 3 and all that worry about spent fuel may signal a failure of the reprocessing industry worldwide. Joseph Trento of DCBureau.org suggests plutonium escaping from the site, especially after the explosion of MOX-fueled Reactor 3, will curtail expensive efforts to recycle plutonium as reactor fuel. One example is the Savannah River site experiment, a $5 billion project now under construction with the U.S. firm Shaw and the French company Areva. The Japanese Rokkasho reprocessing plant was supposed to process 800 tons of spent fuel annually, creating 8 tons of plutonium a year, but has been plagued with accidents and problems. It was shut down by the tsunami and blackout. Spent fuel has been building up for years in Japanese reactor ponds. Fukushima has brought the world's attention to the failure of reprocessing schemes and the failure to find a solution for nuclear waste. This is Radio EcoShock. Here are some other possible geopolitical ramifications from Fukushima that I can't cover today. More moves by Japan towards rapprochement with China. Continued bans on some Japanese products. Governments advising against visiting Japan. Isolation of Japan, almost a historic mirror to the 1930s. Anti-Japanese reaction may be inevitable as continued radiation poisons more countries. There could be political crisis in countries that try to continue with more nuclear power due to protests. Political crisis in countries running old reactors in dangerous places. Forced reduction in the use of energy and rationing. Failure to meet reductions required by peak oil and by climate change. Faster depletion of oil, more dirty and risky sources. More rapid climate change could be a result in the collapse of the world economic system, or at least globalization. We could see an increase in autarky with some local jobs and food production reappearing. Perhaps more small countries will develop nuclear bombs, and more nuclear reactor accidents are inevitable. And speaking at Chernobyl, the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said of nuclear power, quote, "The unfortunate truth is that we are likely to see more such disasters," and end quote. You see, nuclear power is a positive feedback loop with huge negative consequences. As more plants age, with resistance to new ones, more accidents will occur. In addition to the admission by Ban Ki-moon, a lot of research shows more serious earthquakes will occur along the so-called Manila Trench, which is poised to go, threatening a series of Asian nuclear reactors in China and Taiwan. Pakistan has a nuclear plant near Karachi where a giant tsunami hit in 1945, according to Associated Press. There are 8.2 million people living within 30 kilometers of the 125-megawatt Kanyup nuclear plant in Karachi. Evacuation is unimaginable and unlikely in an accident there. China's Guangdong and Lingguo nuclear plants have 28 million people living within a 75-kilometer radius, including Hong Kong. A list of impacts on Fukushima and the nuclear retreat goes on. Declining economies means reactors could be less well maintained. A long slide down in confidence in authority. An increase in violent anti-nuclear and economic protests. We are totally running out of time here on Radio EcoShock. Here are my brief notes on personal reactions after Fukushima for what they're worth. A transition strategy becomes more necessary. I mean local production and forming support groups. You might want to stop dairy and use powdered milk if you must. Consider fossil water supplies if possible rather than using things that get rained into. If you prefer sea salt, buy lots now. The Pacific is being poisoned with radiation. Buy honey now in bulk. Later batches could be radioactive. Avoid North Pacific seafood until we know more. Stockpile some clean food in case the Japanese disaster flares up. And of course, stockpile clean water until you can figure out what you're going to do about it. Be prepared to stay inside with all supplies in the unlikely event, and I say it's an unlikely event, of more radiation clouds. If radiation does spike, stay out of the rain, take off your shoes at the door, shower when coming in. Consider migration to lower radiation locations, and by that I mean leave Japan, Hawaii, and the Aleutian Islands. If a reactor blows sky high, you might have to leave the West Coast, at least temporarily. You should set up a personal monitoring system of both official and alternative news sites for a warning. It takes about 5 or 6 days, probably, for this cloud to arrive. It could come a bit faster. Watch for explosions, big storms in June or July. That's Japan's rainy season. That could blow up some radiation. Learn how radiation works. Have potassium iodide if you have young people, pregnant, or kiddies around, but learn when to use it and how. Know that potassium iodide is not a solution to all radiation, but only protects the thyroid. And keep in mind this, in the 1950s and 60s, we got much worse radiation, and the radiation has declined since then. Some charts show we are about 1,000% less radioactive now than in the 1960s. Fukushima may change all that. Chris Busby, a chemist who specializes in low-level radioactive waste, says it is not yet time to panic about radiation in North America, but stop drinking milk to be on the safe side. My last personal thoughts, do not abandon outdoor exercise for fear of radiation. You've got to stay in good shape. You know, long-lasting fear is bad for our health. We do need to learn about the situation, but we also need to plan daily enjoyment, look around and love the people around you and smile at what's going on. And, you know, use the energy and the fear that you have to fight to close those flawed and dangerous reactors around the world. This is the conclusion of epidemiologist Dr. Stephen Wing as he talks with Arne Gunderson. Take the worry of the current radiation and turn that into action to prevent similar horrible accidents where you live. Save lives. Save the Earth. Become anti-nuclear active. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to The Bad News. Keep your ears tuned, your mind clear, your heart strong. Find out more at our website, ecoshock.org, and you can find all the links supporting the statements made in this program are in the show blog at ecoshock.info. Thanks again, and bye for this week. Have you been terrified by those official-looking maps of radiation pouring down on North America and the world? You need my bonus audio track, Fukushima Fact and Fantasy, with all the fringe news I couldn't fit into this week's hour. All kinds of normally useful blogs have been sucked into this net thing where lurid projections of radiation turn out to be all wrong. The trouble is, when I wrote to the scientists who made these maps, that isn't what they show at all. And no, America did not make another nuclear attack on Japan on 3/11. Just before you quit your job, sell the house, and build a bomb shelter, why not download my free MP3 feature, Fukushima, Fact and Fantasy, from our website, ecoshock.org. It will be on the front page for a couple of weeks, and later on the nuclear page of our audio on-demand menu. Of course, I'll send that bonus program to all our podcast subscribers.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.